Psalms chapter 23, we're going to be looking at 1 and following. 1 and following. Let's read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. I praise Him that He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Because left to myself, I would be wandering over a cliff somewhere. Okay? He guides me in the paths of righteousness. And He does this for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is a loaded table, by the way. This is not a bleak table. It's one that is full. Thou hast anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy or loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You for this psalm that was penned by King David. Lord, as he was being chased by Saul and as he reflects back on his time as a shepherd and as a child, Lord, we can look at this and receive so much instruction and so much wisdom. We pray that we would have ears to hear with this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. David was here in the moment of this, writing this. He was being chased by King Saul. He was frightened. He was terribly frightened. You ever been terribly frightened? I have. I've been terribly frightened. This COVID virus and the things that are going on in our society terribly frightens a lot of people. And this is why I think that this passage of Scripture is so pertinent, and I did say pertinent, for this morning. It's because David was terribly frightened. Yes. He had every right to be. He had a king hunting him. Yes. That's frightening. You have a king hunting you, you'd be frightened too. And so David, in the solitude and in the quiet of his heart, wherever he's at, he pens this psalm. And as he pens it, he is reflecting. We know that this is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He is reflecting back on the time when he was a child, tending to his father's sheep, and he applies that to his present circumstance. He gains wisdom and understanding from something that he did when he was a small child. And he applies it to his present circumstance. Listen to what it says. And we know the key note of Psalms 23 is the Lord. Without a question, without a shadow of a doubt, he begins and he starts with the very thing that is on his mind when he is being chased, when he is scared, and when he is being tried and pushed beyond all measure. The first words out of his mouth are what? The Lord. Jehovah God. Elohim. The one that is able to do and conquer all and do all that we ask or think. David, he is in trouble. And the first thing out of his mouth is not bank account. The first thing out of his mouth is not Biden or Trump. The first thing out of his mouth are not COVID or shots or all of these other things, is it? Amen. The first thing out of David's mouth when in trouble is the Lord. We could glean a lot if we just stood right there and listened. This man, trembling in fear, he thinks back to the time when he was a shepherd. Yes. And how he related to his sheep. And then he applies that to his heart and how the Lord relates to him. Yes. And he says, the Lord. First thing out of his mouth, first thing that he talks about, first thing that's on the forefront of his heart is not anything else, anyone else, but the Lord God Almighty. We lose focus of that. This last week, I lost focus of it. In the last couple of months, I've had a lot of things change in my life. I had to sell my cattle, something that I love to do. Something that I've been doing since Casey and I got married. Raising livestock, I loved it. I had a passion for it. But the time had come for me to give that up. And now, my hands, I'm just like, what do I do with these? You know, so I set about a garden. And I keep growing and I keep growing and I keep growing. And I have really had to adjust and really had to make maneuvers in my life because of how life is going now. Church has not made it any easier. I don't know if you realize that or not, but church has become, it is hard. It is tough. Guys, we have experienced something that the world has never experienced. And for a pastor, it's been extremely difficult for me to adjust to that. And it's been scary. It's been frightful for me. I've had fear in it. I'm being vulnerable with you this morning because David was vulnerable with the people that were listening. He was vulnerable with himself before the Lord. It's not easy. There's a lot of people that's got a lot of things going on in their life. And I look out, and I'm not looking at anybody in particular, okay? So if I catch you out of the corner of my eye, Mike Bennett, because that's where I look at, don't think I'm preaching to you, because I'm not. But there is a lot of stuff going on in a lot of people's lives right now. And it's pressing them down. And it's worrying them to death. And it's taking their attention off of the Lord. David was in the same boat. He was in the same position. And the very first thing David says is the Lord. And then he begins to describe this man, this God that he serves. He begins to describe him. And he says, the Lord is, then he takes ownership over him. My shepherd. Can you this morning honestly say without a shadow of a doubt, according to God's word, that Jehovah God is your shepherd? Can you say it this morning? David could. David could, and so he did. He said, my shepherd. As if the Lord belonged to him and he belonged to the Lord. And in fact, it was that way. Because you see, a shepherd sheep mentality is one of ownership. It's one of ownership. David knew what it was to watch over his father's sheep. He was responsible for them. It was something that was not easy, but he had to do it. And there was times where he was very, very fearful. But now here the roles have changed and the roles have reversed. And David is as a sheep looking towards the shepherd. And he says, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. The one that takes care of me. He is my sole provider. Do we trust him for all of our provisions? You know, with our economy, the way that it is, at some point, it has to blow up, okay? It can't just keep going up, 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 and the spending keep going. Are you trusting him for your provisions? David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Are you trusting him to feed you? The scripture teaches that he feeds the birds that are worth little value. If he feeds them, how much more are you worth to him? Will he not also feed you? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. the shepherds, they provide. And so there's a level of provision here that David is speaking about, because he knows what it was like to take his sheep from one pasture to the next, to this watering hole, to that watering hole. I promise you, David in Bethlehem knew where the sweetest water was for his sheep. He knew where the greatest pastures were for him to take his sheep to lay them down in, for them to graze in, for them to walk through, where he knew where things were not at, like enemies and varmints and all of these different things. He knew where to take them. And so he is applying what the Lord is to him here in this text. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We see that later on where he says that he leads him through righteousness. A shepherd is not going to lead their sheep over into a ditch where they're going to die. It just ain't going to happen. I've had cattle. I understand that. David had sheep and he understood that. The Lord's going to lead them in good places. And this is what he tells them here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And so you see right off the bat, he is placing his trust and confidence in Jehovah God as being his provider, but not only his provider, his protector as well. Also his protector. You know what a shepherd carried? Well, according to the story of David and Goliath, what did he have? He had a sling. He had a few stones. And what else did he have? He had a staff, didn't he? A shepherd's crook. This is what David went out to battle with. This is all he had. This is what shepherds carried. This was common for them. They carried a few rocks, they carried a sling, and they carried a shepherd's staff. David, as he applies this to his own life, he sees that the Lord is the one that is protecting him. He applies it to this shepherd scenario, and he knows that shepherds carry staves, and he knows that shepherds carry slings. And so he applies this to his own life, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my provider, but he is also my protector. And I praise God for that this morning. He provides for us when we don't even know we need providing for. Can I get a witness on that at all this morning? Amen. He provides when we don't even know we need providing for. He knows what's coming in front of us, and so he's already leading us in the right direction and giving us the pasture that we need, the water that we need. So he's a provider, but he's also a protector. The scripture teaches us that David, before he went out to battle with Goliath, of which he beat 9 foot 9 inches tall, close to 450, 500 pounds, beat him like a drum. It tells us that he wrestled a bear, doesn't it? And a lion. This young shepherd boy wrestled a bear and a lion and killed them both. You tell me what, David wasn't bad. David knew what it took to shepherd a flock. And so when he says the Lord is my shepherd, he knows that the Lord, according to Exodus, is a God of war. And that if he need be, he will take up a sling and a stone and defeat any enemy and any dragon that lays in front of him. Period. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 2, I love this because I love to lay down. You ever just love to lay down and rest? Mike, you ever love to lay down and rest? Mike told me the other day, he said, I could take a nap. Absolutely. It says he makes me to lie down. And I love the way it's worded. He makes me to lie down. Sheep were so dumb, they didn't even know the danger in front of them. They didn't know when they needed to rest. They didn't know anything. They just followed around the shepherd. The scripture teaches us, he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. It's a place of coolness. It's a place of sweetness. It is a place of comfort. a place of rest. But until we see our Lord as the great shepherd, as the good shepherd, we're going to continue to be wandering just like the sheep that's left the fold just out there in no man's land. Yes. Vulnerable to be picked off. The Lord is our good shepherd. And we have to understand that this morning. He says he makes me lie down in green pastures. Amen. To be able to stop and to rest. And to focus on the Lord. David knew what that was like. He knew that he couldn't push his sheep. He couldn't push them, and he couldn't push them, and he couldn't push them and wear them out. At some point, they had to take a break, and at some point, they had to rest. Yes. And so David says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He gives me a break. And as he gives me a break, he watches over and he takes care of. Yes. And those green, there's nothing prettier to me, and I spent a lot of time in Kentucky, in the rolling hills of Kentucky. There's nothing prettier to me than green pasture. They just didn't. And I told Casey the other day, since I sold my cows and I went by a pasture that was very, very green. They had really poured the fertilizer to it. And going out there towards Shirley's house, y'all know where I'm talking about, Brian Kennedy's place. And just a beautiful pasture. And when I go by it, I drive slow. Because I want to see it, because it's just so, to me, it's so inviting. Yes. And this is what David is talking about. He's talking about a God who is going to provide, that is going to protect, but he's also going to lay us down in these places where we can rest. Amen. This is Jehovah God. Yes. Amen. A lot of us are running because of the craziness that's going on in our lives, in our homes, in our lives, with our finances, with our marriages, with things that we cannot control. Well, newsflash, we weren't never supposed to control it anyways. Amen. Casey tells me all the time, Matthew, you can't control that. Matthew, you can't control that. I said, I know, but I want to. Well, the Lord is in control. And the sooner we realize that, and the sooner we see him as our shepherd, the sooner we will begin to get rest. Yeah. Psalms 23 is a favorite. It's a favorite of, seems to be, everybody's. He leads me beside quiet waters. You know, every farmer will tell you, if you have livestock, that you have to have, you have to be able to grow grass and provide water. That's what you have to have. That's what you have. You need those things, those two things. And he's talking about quiet waters here. Waters where they can sit by and where they can rest. Quiet waters are deep waters, not shallow waters. These are deep waters to where the flock can get their fill. They can get their fill and they can drink. It's quiet where they can rest. Our lives, since COVID happened and all of this junk has happened, our lives have been and become very, very noisy. Have they or have they not become noisy? You hear this one talking about this one. You hear this one talking about this one. You turn on the news. This one shooting this one and this one shooting that one. And there's riots all over the place. And it ain't just all over our nation. It's all over the world. People's lost their minds. Amen. They've lost it. They have lost it. And it's a sin is what it is. This morning... He leads me beside quiet waters. Yes. This is a place of rest. Amen. I've watched my cattle in the past drink from the source of water that they have. And it's relaxing. It truly is. To watch them as they slowly and methodically get what they need. Guys, we have to make the Lord in such a place in our life that He's first. So much so that He truly is our shepherd. Yes, amen. He will give you the cool places to rest. He will give you the deep waters to drink from.
Amen.
The sweetest.
Yes.
And all we got to do is follow Him.
Amen.
Right? That's it. That's all we got to do is follow Him. And how many times throughout the day, not week, how many times throughout the day do we forget that? There's a reason the song says, I need thee what? I need thee every
hour.
I need thee every hour. Not I need thee once a week. I need thee once a week, most precious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need you once a week. Oh, just once a week. Maybe Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday is all I need thee. Uh-uh. Song's not that, is it?
No.
I need thee every hour.
Yes.
In other words, I need you all the time. And this is what David is saying about the good shepherd. Is that he needs the good shepherd all the time.
Yes.
That anything and everything that he so desires and that he needs, the good shepherd will provide for him.
Yes.
So he is looking with absolute resolve and 110% confidence towards the shepherd of his soul, the Lord God Almighty. I keep pulling my sermon out like I'm going to preach from it. Verse 3. He restores my soul. Some of you, including myself, we need our souls restored.
Amen.
Do we or do we not?
Yes.
The scripture teaches us that every day is new. Every morning is new. His mercies renew every day.
Yes.
Our souls. We go through all of this stuff and all of this junk. They just need to be restored. And I promise you this, that if the Lord is your shepherd, He will do that. He will restore your soul. He will give you the waters to drink from. He will give you the Word of God that you need at the proper time to restore what's been broken.
Amen. Yes.
He will do it.
Yes.
He restores my soul. Then I love this because here he goes back into the shepherd mode again as he thinks of the Lord as his shepherd. He goes back to thinking about when he was a child leading the sheep. He guides me. What do shepherds do? They guide.
Yes.
They guide. That's exactly what they do. I can remember one time the water got so high up at French Fork that I had to take a feed bucket and I had to lead my cows through water waist deep to a high spot on the other side of the pasture. And they were more than happy to follow me because they knew that I was taking them to high ground. They knew that I was providing for them. They knew that I was leading them on a path that they needed to go on so they could thrive and not be in marsh the whole time. Right here we have it. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. I praise God that He guides us in the path of righteousness. Because left to myself, I am set on self-destruct. Is anybody else like that?
Amen.
Yes. Given my personality and extreme as I am, I will set on self-destruct very quickly. Is anybody else like that?
Yes.
Please show of hands so I'm not alone. Thank you. So, he says he leads me, he guides me in the paths of righteousness.
Yes.
He shows us what's right, and he shows us what's wrong.
Amen.
Just as that shepherd would guide those sheep, and he would take and he would guide them through places where they didn't need to be. And even in places that they didn't need to be, we see later on in the text that he is with them.
Amen.
Let's move on. Anybody excited that he guides you in righteousness?
Yes. Amen.
I'm telling you, this really stands out to me.
Amen.
Because I need him. I need him.
Yes.
To guide me. I don't do good without him. Do y'all do good without him? I don't. I need him to guide me in the paths of righteousness. And then listen to what he says after that. He does this, and he does it for us, of course. But more than that, he does it for his name's sake. The shepherd's name's sake. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. There's no other name. You cannot take this name of Elohim, of God, of Jesus Christ. You can't take these names and you can't put wickedness to them. It is a name above all other names. And so he leads us and guides us in the path of righteousness. Yes, for our own good, but also for his name's sake. Because nobody will be able to say that he didn't lead you and that he didn't guide you. In fact, he did lead us, and in fact, he did guide us in righteousness. He didn't leave us to ourselves, and I praise him for that. I praise him that he did it for his namesake. I praise him that he's still doing it for his namesake, because this is a promise. This is a part of his character that he cannot go against. The Good Shepherd is going to lead us according to righteousness because of his name is righteous. His name is perfect. His name is holy. It's above all other gods. That's why he's going to lead us.
Amen.
Verse 4. Times get tough, don't they?
Yes.
You ever walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I'm not talking about just a physical death. I'm talking about walking through a valley of a shadow of a scary place.
Yes.
We go through a lot of scary times and a lot of scary places in our homes, in our marriages, in our finances, with the world that's around us.
Yes, yes.
And what does the scripture teach us? It teaches us that not only is he our provider, but he is also our protector. Listen to what it says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. The scripture teaches us that he never leaves us and that he never forsakes us. Some people get so scared, they get scared stiff, to where they are unproductive, to where they cannot do anything for the Lord, and the whole time the Lord is telling us to walk on. Because he is with us and he will not ever forsake us. Even when we hit the chilly waters of Jordan in death, he is with us, walking with us. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that transition is so smooth that we don't even have to fear death itself.
Amen.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. David knew that as a king was following him and trying to get him, that he was as good as dead, but he was not scared because the Lord was his shepherd. And he knew what a shepherd did because he was a shepherd. And he said, if I was that good to my father's sheep, if I was that good to my father's sheep, won't the Lord be even better to me? Absolutely he will. He says, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, that's a promise that we have. That he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. The promise is so old, it's so outdated it seems to be said from the pulpit, but it's so true. He never leaves us and He never forsakes us. Just like this morning, I wanted to preach out of Galatians 3 and 15. Very technical message. But the Lord has given us Psalms 23 to eat on, hasn't He? Amen. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And then He says, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. David knows that the shepherd's staff was there to pull in the sheep, to correct, to pull in, to comfort, to protect. To protect, correct. I mean, the shepherd's staff was used for a lot of different things. And in our text here, we see that that is God's Word. That is God's Word. God's Word does that for us. It is a rod unto us, but it's also a staff to comfort us. It is a rod of correction, but it is also a staff that comforts, that pulls in, and that makes us feel close with the Lord. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. We get so caught up with things that's around us that we forget the comfort of the Lord. And the Scripture teaches this, that we can have comfort with the Lord. But we let all these little bitties around us. I call them bitties, little bitties. These little fleas. And that's all they are in the eyes of God. And we let them get on us and get around us, and we lose our comfort. We lose everything that the Lord is trying to give us by Him being a shepherd. Let's move on. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Being able to be blessed when those around you don't like you. When those around you hate you. When those around you despise you, reject you. Amen. When those around you even want to kill you. The Scripture teaches us that we can be comforted, and that He will bless us with a table that is prepared. Yes. That even though we're going through this dark place, even though we're going through this valley that looks dangerous and that looks dark and bleak, and nothing's working out, it seems, there is a table prepared for those that have faith in the living God. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The shepherds were used to this. David goes back to that. Shepherds were used to this. The little flowers they would go and they would gather out of the field so the sheep could eat and it wouldn't poison them. A shepherd would go before and he would pluck those flowers up, those poisonous flowers that would hurt the sheep. He would go and pluck them up. And then He'd bring His sheep in to let them graze to the fullest. And this is what our Lord does for us. Yes. He prepares that table. The table is set. The Master calls, come and dine. Come and dine, doesn't He? Amen. It makes me think of when the disciples were catching fish, or when they had caught the fish and Jesus had resurrected, and He calls out to them. He's already made the dinner. He's already made the food for them. And He calls out to them to come and dine. The table's prepared. The table is set. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. Yeah. A greasy head, you say? Not quite. Last week, I had my head shaved, and it looks like, Casey told me it looked like I dumped a bottle of grease on my head because it was so shiny. It's not quite what He's talking about here. Thou anointest my head with oil. Back to the fleas, back to the gnats, back to the bugs that get in our head that completely disrupt our life. They disrupt them so much so that we are pointless and no good for the shepherd whatsoever. Yes, the mites that get in. And it's the little foxes, according to the Song of Solomon, that spoil the vine. It's the little things that come in that spoil the comfort that the Lord is giving us. And it's those mites and those fleas that will get into the sheep's wool and get in there and get in their ears, and they'd begin to scratch, and they would make places on their face, and then they were good for nothing. It drove them crazy. And this is what the Lord's talking about here. This is what David is saying. He anoints my head with oil. The oil would run down the head into the ears and kill the bugs and kill the mites. And this is what the Lord does with us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He has anointed us with it to take these things away. But so many times we let them creep back in, don't we? And it drives us crazy. All these little things around us drive us crazy. And the whole time the Lord is saying, be still and know that I am God. I have taken care of you thus far. What makes you think I won't take care of you the rest of the way? Listen to what he says. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup overflows. You know what an overflowing cup means? It's an abundance, isn't it? When I ask one of my children to get me a cup of coffee, I don't want it overflowing, but I want it almost there. You understand what I'm saying? Selah brought me a cup of coffee the other day, and there was about that much in it, and that much left at the top. I said, Selah, take it back. Fill it up. I want a full cup. The Lord tells us here, my cup, David tells us, my cup overflows. We see the blessings come from him. The blessings come from the good shepherd. They come from the good shepherd. So much so that we cannot contain them all. And it's going to pour out, and it's going to get on people around you. But there's a reason why it's not pouring out, and there's a reason why it's not getting on people around you. It's because we're letting all this little junk take our mind off of our shepherd God. Surely. Shirley and I have a joke about this. Somebody used to call her or say to her all the time, Shirley, goodness and mercy. Here it is. Listen to what it says. Verse 6. Surely, or yes, truly, truly. This is a statement. This is a promise. And we have to understand it. Truly, truly, surely, yes. Goodness. Wouldn't you like for just goodness to follow you around? Well, who wouldn't? I mean, that's a no-brainer. Goodness and mercy, or goodness and loving kindness, will follow me all the days of my life. David says, I don't care if a king's sending his army after me. I don't care if people are trying to kill me. I don't care what it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me, but also what's behind me is goodness and mercy. So we have the Lord in front and the Lord behind. Can't we see how much of a blessing it is if we just place our trust in Jesus day by day? Day by day by day, hour by hour by hour. He leads us, and then he promises us that goodness, and he promises us that mercy would be following up behind us. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me. It will follow me all the days. Does it say it will follow me just one day? All, all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. But yet we forget that goodness and mercy because those little things, those little foxes that spoil the vine, those little mites that get in our head, it robs us of these blessings. that the Lord has already given to us. Just look around and see. He's in front and he's behind. Who shall lay anything to the charge of one of God's elect? Nobody and nothing can. If God be for us, who can be against us? There is no weapon formed against us that shall prosper if God be our shepherd. Even though he has a stave and a sling, doesn't matter. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. Then he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He says, I'll be in your presence, Lord. I just want your presence. And I'll be there. If you're my shepherd, I'll be with you forever. There's an eternal factor here in Psalm 23 that a lot of people forget. He says, forever. Death may come, but when that death comes, if the Lord is your shepherd here, he is going to be your shepherd there.
Amen?
Amen? I mean, the Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This morning, I'm thankful that he leads me. I'm thankful that he is my shepherd. Can you say the same thing?
Amen.
In your life? If you cannot, by the authority of God's word, believing by faith in Jesus Christ, he will become your great shepherd.
Amen.
He will. Just by simply trusting and believing in him. He will become your great shepherd.
Amen.
Let's pray.